The message tonight is called There Is a God. And the reason I chuckle, I don't think there's anybody in here really who don't know that already. But you know what? Somebody's going to ask you. Somebody's going to ask you, how do you know there's a God? Why do you believe there's a God? Yeah, the outside. The people outside who don't know God, who aren't convinced. And you know, there's actually a lot of religious people not convinced that there's a God. They're just not sure. So anyway, I want to talk about that tonight. And I'll tell you what inspired the message. It was kind of funny because I was in the Caribbean, and the person that I was working with is one of those, he's kind of a robot man, really. I mean, he can work all hours of the day and never stop. And I thought, how in the world? So we were getting up before dark. He'd already have his breakfast done, and I'd meet him at about 6:15. And we'd leave, head straight to work. And we wouldn't get off from work until at least past, I think the earliest night we got off was 6:30, and that was just one night. It was like 7:30, 8:30, 9:30 was the latest we stayed. Well, one of those days, and I think this was on the Friday, last Friday in the Caribbean, as I was coming down, I saw the sun coming up, rising from the Atlantic Ocean, and I just stood in awe of the great God of the universe and His handiwork. And I stood there and I looked at it and I was just, you know, just amazed, and I was praising the mighty God that we just sang about tonight, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. I even say that a lot in my prayer. I like to acknowledge Him as sovereign Lord. And anyway, I took a picture and I texted it to all my family back home. So here I am, thousands of miles away. I'm only two blocks from the ocean. Never once set my foot near it, but I'm only two blocks from it. And that's what I saw Friday morning. Most days it was pretty cloudy, but that was a glorious day. And I sent it to my family, and I think with the one that I sent to Jason, I couldn't help myself. I just printed out in big letters. I said, "There is a God!" Exclamation point. Just looking at that, I said, "There is a God." Well, come to find out, it's in the scriptures. Let's kind of go through these just a little bit by bit. In Romans chapter 1, some people believe that if Paul would have written a gospel, this would have been it. This would have been a letter to the Romans. And this has a lot of theology wrapped in this one book. You could spend years. I think there was a pastor who spent 10 years, or five, I forgot which. But can you imagine spending 5-10 years on just the book of Romans every Sunday? Just the book of Romans. There's just so much in that. So much to unpack. He starts out, Paul, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, so this is the preface to what he's going to say in just a moment. So he begins by saying the wrath of God. And if you think about it a little bit and read a little more about it, it could also be said as the righteousness of God. Because there is a righteousness of God, and He will judge righteous, there's going to come some wrath. Okay? So, because of the righteousness of God, we have the wrath of God. So, He said it's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So, immediately, we're talking the opposing sides, the ungodly, the unrighteous, versus the righteous judge, the wrath of God. who hold, now he's talking about these unrighteous and ungodly men who hold the truth. Think about that. This is in the King James Version, but you could basically say who withhold the truth or who hide the truth. So these ungodly people are hiding, withholding, or they're holding the truth, okay? Have you ever worked in a place where you might be new and you're working along somebody who's been there for 5, 10, 20 years and you want to know how to do something? I've worked with people who will hold that information back. Now, not me. It's easy to do, isn't it? It is. And I've worked with people who hold the truth, even when it pertains to my job. And so I made it a point, because I really got perturbed at that kind of attitude, I made it a point to say to myself, and even the Bible backs me up on this, blessed is the man who sweareth to his own hurt. Tell the truth, even if it hurts you. Yes, you may get laid off, because they got some younger guy now knows how to do what you know how to do. But everybody who would come and ask me, how do you do such and such? If I knew it, I'd tell it. I just made it a way of life. I tell it. I don't hold the truth back. And so these people were holding some kind of a truth back, these ungodly and unrighteous men. Well, what kind of truth? What were they holding back? So when I took that picture and I said, there is a God, that's the truth. There is a God. And there's people who do not, who will not acknowledge that there is a God. Partly because they don't want to be accountable. They will be, they just don't want to be. They don't want to be accountable to a righteous God who has provided a Bible with His Word that holds the standard of truth. It's our life book, if you will. It's what we live by. We live by the book. That's why He says, store it up in your heart, or in your mind, really. Memorize the Word so that I won't sin against thee. That's what He says. So that I won't sin against thee. So God's Word is one thing. But then He goes on to say some other things, because, and this is where you got to pick up. So He starts out talking about the ungodly and the unrighteous. So know that first of all. Now, some people think that Paul was talking about the pagan folks back before the days of Abraham. I don't subscribe to that idea, because I believe that there's righteous, unrighteous and ungodly men throughout all the time. Yes, they're evil all the days. So when I read that commentary, and he said Paul was talking about the pagans back in that day, and I'm like, no way, no how. I see it today. I see it today, because he says this. This is what Paul was saying about God. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. Pause and think about that a minute. Can you see everything that God has created? No. There's actually a microscopic universe going on. You can't see it. I mean, golly, we talk about when people get sick. Caleb just goes to the doctor today. I mean, you get strep, you got flu, you got cold, you got all these other things that just hits you like a ton of bricks, but you don't see it. Somebody told me, and maybe Jenny can confirm it, they said a sneeze can travel up to 6 feet or more.
I'm sure.
Even more. Yeah, so we have this guy at my work. He's just across the cubicle from me. Thank the Lord for the wall, because he's sneezing. He was coughing and he was really sick. And I'm thinking, I wish he'd go home. He's spreading germs. And then he wants to come to your cubicle and talk to you. And achoo, you know, like it, right there in your office. And you're like, okay, Lord. Put a shield about me. Protect me. I want an invisible shield here. So he's talking about these invisible things of Him, God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's kind of a twist on words. Invisible things are clearly seen. What holds the planets in their place? It's invisible, but it's gravity. What holds the moon in its place? We see it. It's clear to us there is a moon. I just showed you a picture of a sun. What holds all of that in its place? The sun comes up every day. The moon, you see it very regular. It's all held together in place, invisibly, by Him. It's wonderful, isn't it? So it's talking about, so the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, that's key, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we look at the things that are made, and we are able to deduce from that that there is a God. There has to be some form of intelligence behind all of this. Okay, now some people won't believe that. They won't take you up on that premise. But the fact is, if you really are honest, and if you go and just explore, you can go to, I think it's space.com. I love that site. It shows pictures of the Hubble telescope and other pictures of galaxies so far away that some of the stars don't even exist anymore. They've died out years ago, and they don't exist anymore. Yet the light is still coming. It's that far. How do they know all this? I don't know, but science is pretty smart, but they still haven't figured out God. But so, here we go. So these invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. In other words, there is a God who created all this. Okay? We see it. We can't give really any explanation. I could give you a lot of scientific details, but I won't. But the fact is, there's just so much things going on microscopically that you cannot see. And there are things going out in the universe, and they say that it's still expanding, still. And new stars and new moons and new planets are being created. So His eternal, not just once in a while, but His eternal power and Godhead. And so He's saying, if you look out at the world, at everything created, if you see the sun coming up every morning, and I know we do, sometimes we don't even give the sun a second thought, unless it's too hot, or unless it's too cold, and then we complain. But if you stop and think about it, it's like, who measured off the sun, put it at the right distance so that there's life on this planet? You start thinking about that, you no longer have an excuse. That's what He's saying. He's saying, okay, there's a creation out here for you to observe and for you to know that there was something behind that created power, and that was an eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse. Okay, so we started from the ungodly to that. Now here's the rub. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, okay, pause and think about this. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they wanted to say, no, that's just happenstance. That came by accident. This whole universe came through by a big bang. You know, we just poof and we're here. My gosh, how much faith does it take to believe all that? And then you back them up and put them in a corner by saying, okay, let's say for the moment that that's how God did it. There was something by the size of a softball, and then one time in who knows how many years ago, it exploded and turned into a universe. I always ask them, where did that softball of power come from? They look at me, well, it's always been there. Oh, really? In my book, it says, and God said. Maybe he created the world, the universe by a big bang. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's how they said he did it. But I always say, when they try to confront me with this, with science, which I don't know that much science, but I do. I am not a fool. That there, if they say we all started from something that's the size of a softball and it exploded, where did that come from? I tell them, I say, you have more faith than I have. I says, it's easier to believe the Genesis account and God said, let there be light. Poof, suddenly there's light. I don't know how long it took. I know it says there was evening and then morning. But back then, we don't know really how long a day was. It could have been 24-hour days. Most people subscribe to that, and I could very well believe that. So they didn't glorify him as God, but look at that. Neither were they thankful. Oh my, how many days have I gone by and not thanked the Lord for some of the simplest stuff? Did everybody wake up this morning? Obviously you did. You're here. But I'll bet you most of us didn't thank the Lord for waking us up this morning. I have to admit I didn't. I am now. I'm thankful that he brought me here. But when I woke up like this. Oh my gosh, my back's hurting. Oh, my knee's hurting. Oh, here I go again. Was I thankful? I have to pause and then thank the Lord. Yes, I'm here another day. Maybe I can do something for someone for another day in Jesus' name. I tell you, you know, so here he throws all that in. They didn't acknowledge God. They didn't glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. But here we go. But rather than all of that, they became vain in their imaginations. In other words, they started making things up, okay? Useless stuff in their imaginations. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, that's how it begins. When you begin to shy away from the knowledge that there is a God, then your heart is going to be darkened. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that's just it's just the way it is. That's the way the heart is. And so we think we have a lot of wise people, and I guess in some ways you could really say, yeah, you know, these scientists, man, they're very smart. But professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wow. A wise man can become a fool. And then, and it says this. This is the last scripture in this section. But it's very important that you catch what he's saying here. So he starts out with the ungodly and the unrighteous. And then he talks about, you can tell there's a God by the things that are created. If you're willing to look, you got to be willing to look. And then he talks about, okay, they didn't want to acknowledge all of that. They didn't want to glorify God as God. They wanted to say, oh, this just happened by a big bang. This is all by an accident. And so they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Like a Buddha statue. Or a Dagon, which is like half man, half fish, I think. And other types of idols. They changed God into an image carved out of a man's hand. Can you imagine that? So I go out and get a lot of Play-Doh. Think along with me, okay? So I go grab some Play-Doh, and I make me some kind of a whatever it is. And I set this big blob of Play-Doh of whatever I made, and I'm like, this is my God. I'm going to bow down and worship it. How foolish! Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's how it happens when your heart is darkened. So they made God into an image like unto corruptible man, because sometimes it's a half man or half fish or what's that? I forgot what they call it. It's a horse with a man. He's a horse, but he's got a man's head. Is it a scimitar or?
Minotaur?
I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about, right? I should have had a picture up here. Half man, half horse. Okay. That's in mythological things. But that's what they did. They changed God into an image, and they put it on their table, and they worshiped it. And it says here, and also, not only like man, but to birds and four-footed beasts, the Egyptians, long ago, I don't know when it stopped, but they used to worship cats. Okay, I think a cat's worth 29 cents and worth running over sometimes if they get in front of my car.
Amen.
Nah, I don't hate cats. But my mom, God rest her soul, every time a black cat would cross our paths, she'd make a check mark on the windshield. Mom, what's that check mark going to do for you? It's a wives' tale, folks. Some people just can't break from old habits. She believed in God. So I'm saying, okay, so they changed God into an image of corruptible man, and I think this scripture here is saying they mixed it. Okay, I don't think, now there's some gods, images that they worship that are all men, but I think they mixed man, bird, beast, and creeping things. Now, I have no idea what kind of creeping things that you would build and worship. A lizard, maybe, I don't know. Can you imagine a scorpion? Yeah, I actually have seen that on symbols. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, there you go. Four-footed beast. The calf, when they built it, and probably it was built out of wood, because they always overlaid things with gold. They'd melt the gold and they'd overlay it, and basically it became a gold-plated image. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So the golden calf, just like Aaron did, and creeping things. Who knows? But I'll tell you, that's what happens with a darkened heart. That's what happens with people who don't want to acknowledge God. Now, in our day and time, people might not be changing God into an image, per se, but they're changing Him into something else. You know what that something else is? It's called Mother Earth. Okay? There's some people who worship Mother Earth. They do. They literally worship Mother Earth. There are meetings. But the biggest thing to not acknowledge God is evolution. Evolution, being now taught in schools, we have to fight. We have to fight as Christians to have the creation story taught along with evolution. Because they wanted to push that aside. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They push out the creation story, interject evolution, and say, oh, this is how we came to be. This is how we came to be. We somehow, by accident, all these cells and amino acids and amoebas got together, and all of a sudden it formed something, who knows what it looked like, and eventually crawled out of water onto land, grew some legs, started growing and standing up, eventually became a man. I say, okay. I said, let's think for a moment. I said, let's say that's true. People hate it when I start out a conversation that way, when they're trying to tell me about being no God. Because I like to back them into a corner. Because if you don't make them think, they'll just believe anything you tell them. Okay? So I back them into a corner. They say, okay, we came from evolution. All right. I said, let's say that's true. We came from evolution. Did we evolve from monkeys? Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. We have proof that we've evolved from monkeys. I said, okay. And here's the kicker. If we evolved from monkeys, why is there still monkeys in human beings? Oh, I can explain that, says the wise. Just because we evolved from monkeys doesn't mean the species dies out. Oh, really? Now I have them where I want them. Okay? Oh, really? Just because we evolved from something doesn't mean it died out. That's right. I said, okay, we have monkeys, we have human beings. Where are all the species in between? Well, and that's far they go. So I go, did they die out? We have monkeys, we got human beings. You said just because we evolved from monkeys, they don't have to die out for us to evolve. Where's everything in between? There should be at least one of every step along the way, right? If there was millions of years. And they look at me and they kind of go, well, I got to get back to work. They have no answer. They have faith in something that they can't prove. One of these days I'm going to talk to you about what's called the bombardier beetle. Remember that word, the bombardier beetle. Because one scientist, he's very renowned, by the way, I forget his name, but he's very renowned in the scientific world. He said, the reason I don't believe in evolution is because of the bombardier beetle. They said there's no way he could have evolved. Not possible. And he goes through this long explanation, and I will try to scale it down a little bit and maybe interject it into a sermon one day. But people are trying to explain how it is possible for the bombardier beetle to evolve. And he says it's not possible. Well, we started out, and we're going to end with this picture. When I see this picture, and not just this picture, when I go on space.com and I look at all the galaxies, I could have put all kinds of pictures up here that just, my mind just explodes with the wonder. My hands automatically come up and say, there is a God. I have to believe in God. And so when people ask me about, why do you believe in God? I say, just look. Look at the creation. And then they'll tell me, well, prove to me there's a God. I said, I can't. I can't prove it to you. If God himself, think about this. In the scripture we just read, God has made himself known to everyone by his creation, even to the people of today. And if they still claim to be no God and unthankful, if God has not proven himself, how am I going to prove there's a God? I'm not saying God can't prove himself, but he's chosen to do it by his very creation. And so people are asking me to prove there's a God, and I'm saying, well, just take a look. That's my answer. Take a look around you.
And we still have no excuse on account of the creation.
Yes, we have no excuse.
The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God.
Exactly. And that's what it said up there when it said professing themselves to be wise.
Because he could name all the stars.
Yes.
And the scientists, they find a new star, they want to name it. God knows them all.
They give it the dumbest names, the N467, you know, or the whatever. I know, God knows them all. And the Bible says he measured them by the span of his hand. I don't know how big his hand is. I know it's big. When you can measure stars by the span of your hand. And by the way, there's a scripture that says he's written your name in the palm of his hand. How wonderful it is to know that.
These people, according to the Bible, intelligently, not a fool, but religiously, a fool.
Yes, exactly right. In fact, that's what I'm saying. They profess themselves to be wise. They think they're wise. And they do know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Scientists today know a lot. There's a lot of medical professions. You know, people who, surgeons, okay, neurosurgeons, operates on the brain, and they still don't completely know how the brain works. They know how parts of it work. They know that if you damage certain parts of the brain, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your everything about you. It might change your speech patterns. I mean, one guy had a car wreck, a good friend of mine. If you'd known him before the car wreck, you would have thought he was just weird. You really would have. He was a very strange guy, but he was just funny. Okay, he had the car wreck, was in a coma for 30 days, I think, 30 days, and came out of the coma and gradually got healed. But his short-term memory was all he had, and it was like, if he didn't write it down, and I say this sometimes, if I don't write it down, it didn't happen. Because if I have my short-term memory, I think, is leaving me sometimes. So I got to write things down. But he said something like that he didn't believe in God until after he came out of the coma. And he started realizing the parts of the brain, because now he slurs his words. I slur my words, and I don't think my brain's damaged. It just feels that way. I'm just tired. But you know how you can do that? You get tired, and you start slurring your words. Well, he wasn't tired. He just slurred his words because part of his brain got damaged. And they don't fully understand how the brain affects your speech, your actions, your behavior, your attitude. All that is here.
You know, God changes us. I mean, he changes us at the altar. And you can see the change.
Exactly.
You can see it.
You can see it because why? There's a change in behavior. There's a change in the way they live. So that's how I believe there is a God.
Sure. You know, Earl, I thank God. Nowhere in the Bible does he tell us to prove it.
No.
It's by faith.
It's by faith.
And that's the only way.
And
so these people, I mean, you know, how many students have we heard of that's gone to college and they were believers when they were in grammar school, right down to the beginning. But then when they go, these so-called professors that know everything in science and so on, they come back different people so many times.
Yes. In fact, that's a lot of places is where people get changed. Has everyone seen the movie God's Not Dead?
Yes.
Isn't that something? And that's kind of the way it is. God's Not Dead. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Earl, when Chris had his stroke, and it messed up the whole left side of his brain. And when they did some testing, they found out that Chris has an extra artery in the back of his head that provided blood flow to the left side of his brain because it was all blocked because of the clot.
Really?
Very few people are born with that. There's a very small chance. Okay, and you want to tell me there's not a God?
I was going to say, that sounds like a kind of a rare condition. That you'd be born with something that most people don't have.
Yeah, he has that extra artery at the back of his head that fed blood to his brain.
I hope he captured what was being done there.
Yeah, he believes it. He just stayed on that
back. Well, we'll believe that he will be drawn.
Well, a lot of these people that don't think there's any God or anything like that, they don't see the evidence.
No.
They don't come to where the evidence is at. They don't want to hear the evidence, you know. But once in a while, someone will come up as a sinner, cussing, everything else, but they'll leave crying.
Yes.
Because God has worked another miracle for them.
And it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to himself. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. We have to lift up Christ. We have to glorify him, not be unthankful, not be the ungodly, withholding the truth, okay, or holding the truth.
Well, we have to learn again.
Yes.
We have to start learning.
Well, there's a scripture, and I'll show this to you guys one day. I know I keep promising stuff, but I will show you in the scripture. Write it down or it didn't happen. It says the Lord, it talks about the circle of the earth. The scripture said thousands of years ago the earth was round. You realize there was a time when people thought the earth was flat? But there's a scripture that says the circle of the earth. And I think he's referring that God sits upon the circle of the earth, but I'm not quite sure that's how it's written. But I'll have to.
Why our founding fathers, when they were sailing around trying to find the United States, they did not realize that it was not.
Well, they were scared to go so far.
They were. They thought because of the horizon they would fall off the edge. But
they also talk about the corners.
Yeah. Well, and that's even in this scripture. Yeah. About the
word of Christian.
Yeah. Well, but see, I was at a place called St. Kitts. Kitts is short for Christopher. St. Christopher. The guy, Christopher Columbus, who sailed the ocean. Apparently, he landed on that island. Now, I don't know what else he landed on, but that, I mean, I even had a picture. They, behind the hotel desk, they have this big, it's almost like a world map of how they thought back then. Anyway, they showed where Christopher or Columbus, he traveled and landed there at St. Kitts. And I thought, wow, I never knew that. This is new to me. So I took a picture of it, and I kind of had to do a panoramic type picture to get the whole thing. But I thought this was so cool. But he proved the earth was not flat. Now, I will have to tell you this. There was a man that most people might remember in history named Martin Luther. He was the one who actually started this Protestant Reformation. Believe it or not, all of you in here are Protestants. You essentially are part of his work. Okay, so he started the Protestant Reformation, period. But then there was I want to say his name was either Galileo or Copernicus, but I forget which one. But he was talking about how the earth revolved around the sun. Martin Luther said, no way. He said the earth, everything revolves around it. And this astronomer kept saying, no, it's the other way around. The earth is moving around the sun. And based on his data and observations, that's what he came to and concluded. So they asked Martin Luther, why do you believe the earth is the center, that everything revolves around the earth? Because the scripture says, and it's in there, when Joshua was fighting a battle, some of you may remember this, God said, now this is something, man, I tell you, if you believe the promises of God like Joshua, God said you will overcome your enemy and destroy them. Well, he wasn't finished. And the day was getting ready to, the sun was getting ready to go down. So he prayed, sun stand still. And the sun stood still for, I think, another whole day. I don't know if the whole universe lost the day or if it was just the earth. Again, I can't explain it because there is a God. He knows how to do these things. It's marvelous. And I want to just close with this. I know I'm taking up a lot of time. But I'm thankful for you guys because you're really bringing out some good points. But I want to close with this. Heaven is still speaking to us. You might think, well, that's pretty strange. How can heaven speak? Look at this in Psalm 19 and 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Verse 2, and day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. Earl, what in the world are you saying? Even I have trouble sometimes. So here's another translation. Out of the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Same thing. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies, the heavens, display his craftsmanship. Okay? The works of God is in the heavens. That's why I go to space.com. The last verse, and we'll close with this. And this is what I said. They keep speaking to me. Day after day, they, what's they? The skies, the heavens, continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. And there is no excuse. Please stand, if you would. After I pray to close out the CD, we'll have prayer for anyone who needs it. Heavenly Father, oh, I believe so hard there is a God. And I pray that you give me and us the wisdom and knowledge that we need to confront folks who believe that there is no God. And that, Lord, that through us and the Holy Spirit working together in unison, that they will come to know you as Sovereign Lord, the Jehovah, Almighty God. And that, Lord, we believe, we love you tonight. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Regardless of the aches and pains that we have sometimes, we just thank you for our very breath. And Lord, as we walk out of here tonight, let us walk out of here tonight, Lord, encouraged that we can answer people, that there is a God, and that we can withstand anyone who comes to us. And oftentimes it's within groups or gangs, and they'll try to convince us there is no such thing as God. Lord, I know it takes more faith to believe that there is no God than it takes faith to believe that there is. And I'm one of those who believe. Thank you, God, for this very night. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are going to do. We ask for the glory and the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.